Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Ayati Achieves Liberation, text number 9, without any purport. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road, tried his best to flatter her, but could not pacify her. Tasya tatra dvija kaschit aja swam yachinad rusha lambandam vishanam bhuya sandadere taya yogavit tasya of the he-goat tatra thereupon dvija brahmana kaschit some aja swami the maintainer of another she-goat, Achinat, castrated, made effeminate, Rusha, out of anger, Lambantam, long, Rishanam, testicles, Puya, again, Sandade, joined, Artaya, for self-interest, Yogavid, expert in the power of mystic yoga. The she-goat went to the residence of a brahmana, who was the maintainer of another she-goat. And that brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles. But at the he-goat's request, the brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. Purport, here Shukracharya is figuratively described as a husband of another she-goat. This indicates that the relationship between husband and wife in any society, whether higher or lower than human society, is nothing but the same relationship between the he-goat and the she-goat. For the material relationship between man and woman is one of sex. In Maitunadi, Grihamedi, Sukham, Hitu, Cham. Sukracharya was an acharya, or expert in family affairs, which involved the transfer of semen from the he-goat to the she-goat. The words kaschit aja swami expressively indicate wherein that Sukracharya was no better than Yayati, for both of them were interested in family affairs generated by Shukra or semen. Sukracharya first cursed Yayati to become old so that he could no longer indulge in sex. But when Sukracharya saw that Yayati's emasculation would make his own daughter a victim of punishment, he used his mystic power to restore Yayati's masculinity. Because he used his power of mystic yoga for family affairs and not to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this exercise in the magic of yoga was no better than the affairs of he-goat and she-goat. Yogic power should properly be used to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord Himself recommends in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenatmanatmana sharavan bhajate yomam sameyuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, He who always abides in me with great faith, worshiping me in transcendent loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. translation again. The he-goat went to the residence of a brahmana who was the maintainer of another she-goat, and the brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles. But at the he-goat's request, the brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. It doesn't appear that the Srimad Bhagavatam is very romantic. In other words, romance depends upon illusion. And the Bhagavatam has said at the very beginning, dharma prayojita kaitavotra paramonimatsaranam satam, that the Bhagavatam is meant to kick aside all kinds of cheating illusions and tell things as they are. That the material world is one of maitunadi agra, the shackles of sex life. And maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitujam. So it's considered to be insignificant, the amount of happiness that's obtained from sense gratification, as compared to a drop of water in the desert. But since, at least if you're in a desert and you get one drop of water, it's something. It's better than nothing. So in the absence of Krishna consciousness, sense gratification seems quite desirable. Unfortunately, when one becomes attracted to sense gratification, then one loses one's ability to become Krishna conscious. And therefore one cannot experience, as Krishna says, Vishaya Vinivartante, Niharasyadehinam, Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya Param Drishma Nivartate. That there is a transcendental television in everyone's heart. And if that, unfortunately right now the television is broken. So if we look inside our heart, we don't see anything. But actually if we repair the television, then we can tune on to channel Krishna. And we can experience Krishna's transcendental pastimes even now. And by experiencing those transcendental pastimes with our transcendental senses, one can feel an unlimited happiness which goes on forever. Therefore, Bhayas Parasheva Saktanma Vindat Yatminiya Sukham Sabrahma Yoga Yuktama Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. Such a person is not attracted to external sense objects, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. Luckily, Krishna consciousness is, for anyone, it's within our reach. It doesn't matter who one is. We may not immediately enter into the transcendental pastimes of Krishna with our spiritual body, but still Krishna consciousness is in reach. If we just recognize where we're currently, how we're currently conditioned, what the state of our consciousness is, and what the next step forward is. Just like we want to walk from here to Maribor. Do you know how you get there? You take one step at a time. You walk out the door here and you put one foot in front of the other and go in the right direction. And eventually you'll get there. It may take a little while, but you're sure to reach there sooner or later. Similarly, being eternal, if we take to the eternal process of Krishna consciousness, sooner or later we'll actually meet Krishna. Just like, do you know how you can meet Narada Muni? Does anyone know how to meet Narada Muni? Yes. Yeah, first you have to find out where your footsteps are. And then if you follow them, eventually you'll meet Narada Muni. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. Finding what the footsteps are, and then following them. Mahadno yena kata sapanta. And then eventually one will get there. Tarko, apratishta, Shrutiya vibhina nasavarishya yasyanabhinam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahadano yena katasapanta. Now, we may speculate or argue about what is the actual goal of life. Now, everyone has some goal. Just like when we walk outside the door here, we have a goal after class. Most of us will go downstairs because the goal is to find prasadam. So that's the goal. Luckily, it's a spiritual goal. So, and after prasadam, we have other goals. So, whatever we do, we have a goal. That's why we put one foot in front of the other, because we want to go somewhere. Unless we're intoxicated like an ant who just goes around in a circle. They don't really have any goal because they're intoxicated. So nowadays people are not really clear about their goals because they're intoxicated by the illusory energy. And therefore, nite vidu swarthakatim yivishnu, they don't know that the goal is to reach Krishna. Dharashaya bhaihir ardhamanina. So they take something insignificant as the goal. Just like if you ask people on the street, what is your goal in life? What will they tell you? What is your highest goal? My highest goal is to go from here to the shop and get something to eat. Or I have to buy a dress or a coat or something. That's my goal in life. And what is your highest pleasure? When my football team wins the match. There's no higher happiness. And what's your greatest distress? When it loses. So people don't know Krishna, who's the Aham Sarvasya Pravo Matak Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Vedante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Just imagine someone who knew everyone's name here. And everyone's name in Slovenia. And everyone's name on this planet. Everyone's name in this universe. Everyone's name in all the universes. Everyone's name in the spiritual world. That would be quite a good memory. Wouldn't you like to meet someone like that? You ask him a question, he gives you a perfect answer every time. Someone who has unlimited beauty. If you found out that down the block there's a person who is unlimitedly beautiful, wouldn't you be interested in putting on your coat and going and seeing him or her? What happens if someone has unlimited wealth? He owned everything. Couldn't you give me, you know, a small donation of 100 trillion euros? No problem. I'll check my purse. Yeah, here. No problem. So the question is whether we actually believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's actually Bhagavan, that the universe came, everything here, and all of us were all expansions of Krishna. Do we actually believe that? Do we have any faith in that? And if we do, do we think it's worthwhile to make that the goal? To actually meet Krishna? We have to have some goal. Is that a worthwhile goal? To meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything? Is it worth a little effort? So that's the question we have to ask. And along the way, it's not that suddenly, you know, we have to spend a whole lifetime. At the end, we find out whether we got any reward or not, whether actually Krishna is God. But Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram Idam, Uttamam, Pravakshavagamam, Dharmyam, Sisukam, Kartum, Avyam. This knowledge is the king of education. The most secret of all secrets is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, is a perfection of religion, is everlasting and is joyfully performed. So it actually gives us direct perception of the self, of Krishna and ourselves, of everything else. Now it has to be susakam kartum arvyam. It has to be performed in a happy mood. We can't go to the spiritual world and we get there. Everyone is joyful, ecstatic, and we walk in there and say, why am I here? This people are too happy here. Why are they so happy? Maybe I can do something to make them miserable. We came to the wrong place. That's why we come to the material world, in order to try to help make people miserable. But if we come here to the spiritual, to the material, if we want to go to the spiritual world, even in this lifetime, even now, then we have to change our consciousness. Now we think the goal of life is to gratify my senses. Then it's going to be very unhappy, not very pleasant, because everyone knows after the senses are gratified, my consciousness goes down. We may hanker for the Sunday feast, I can't wait for the feast. And if we eat too much, then we lament, oh, why did I eat too much? Why was there a Sunday feast? They're torturing me after the Sunday feast. Sometimes devotees used to have these glubdumin contests to see how many glubdumins can you eat at one time. So Radha Damodar challenged the library party one time. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was Ghanasham, he ate, one of the devotees ate 96 glubdumins. So he won the contest. He also won a ride to the hospital. So he won the contest. And he also got darshan of so many doctors there. So everyone knows, the more we gratify our senses, the more they want to be gratified, and the more we feel uncomfortable. So therefore Krishna advises, Tani Sarmani Samyamya Yukta Astita Matpraha Vishayi Yasyandriyani Tasya Pragya Patishtita. The one who restrains his senses and organs of action and fixes his mind upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So we have to use our intelligence. That's the only hope we have. Use our intelligence to try to fix it on Krishna. At least try to do something for Krishna. We may not be able to see Krishna in our heart, but at least we can have enough willpower that we desire that our senses be engaged in his service. And if we do that, then gradually if we do it with the right attitude, then gradually we'll actually remember Krishna. Not only Krishna, remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, remember his acharyas and disciples' succession, how they're training us to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so we can feel this mood of separation from Radha and Krishna and their associates in Vrindavan. Now if we try to think about Radha and Krishna or their associates, it's more or less like a mechanical process, which is nice. We think about Krishna, we see Krishna with a flute and a peacock feather. It's a little mechanical. It doesn't inspire our heart so much, necessarily. But if we remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation of Radha and Krishna and their associates in Vrindavan, then by remembering him and feeling his presence, then we also start feeling some desire to obtain Radha and Krishna. Our desire to obtain Krishna, just like a desire to obtain anything in the material world, is invoked by association. Whoever we associate with, that we have respect for and appreciation for, then naturally that will invoke their sentiments within us. If we want to learn how to take intoxication, become expert at it, then you go to the bar and there are so many gurus there. They can train you. They can tell you all the varieties of rasa, how to mix the drinks and what the effects of the intoxication. You can find out so many things. And you can get inspiration. They're enthusiastic to be. That's why they're there. You can develop the same enthusiasm they have for getting intoxicated. Similarly, if we want to become intoxicated in Krishna, we have to associate with Krishna through his devotees. Especially the devotees who have a little bit more anxious to obtain Krishna than we are. Because that will invoke within us some desire, especially if they tell us that actually the way they've developed a little desire is because they've served the acharyas, who have given them the association of the six Goswamis and their instructions so that they can serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and therefore feel some inspiration to obtain Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Not that we want we obtain Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan and we think, well, how did I ever get here? I never really wanted to come to this place. I mean, I left so many things behind. Maybe I can go and pick them up and bring them back here. No, that intense desire to obtain Radha and Krishna, to obtain devotional platform, pure devotion, can only be gradually obtained by experiencing a little at a time what it's like and seeing that it's superior to anything else that's available in the material world. To get a little glimpse of it and then become encouraged to sacrifice something so that either engage more fully in devotional service or give something up so a little bit more of that taste can be obtained. So, devotional service, to get it, to obtain it, to obtain the highest personality, Krishna, is not cheap. To obtain the person who is the owner of everything, unlimitedly beautiful, has unlimited happiness and knowledge, is not cheap. It takes some sacrifice, some yajna. And if we're willing to make it, then Krishna will a little at a time encourage us to get a little bit more taste every time until finally one day we'll have so much taste that we'll become addicted to Krishna. We can't give him up. We won't be able to, no one can stop us from chanting. Just like when Prabhupada was having an operation in 67, a heart operation, the doctor said, this old man won't stop chanting. So he won't stop chanting, and we're just trying to start. But if we follow Prabhupada's instructions and his example, then gradually that taste will develop. Krishna bhakti rasa, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. To attain that rasa, tatra loya mulam ekalam. To attain that taste of Krishna consciousness, we had to develop some greed for it. But greed is developed by gradually a little experience at a time, and therefore our faith will increase until one day we'll actually develop an actual feeling of greed. We can't live without Krishna. Just like a fish cannot live without water. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Yes. Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were talking about this Gulab Jamun contest.
Oh, you'd like that one. Yeah. So, should we have that here?
No, but sometimes we have something like in this marathon, some devotees are competitive, how to be competitive without going to the hospital.
Well, distributing books won't put you in the hospital. Unless you get overly aggressive with the people. No, that's no problem, distributing books. Matter of fact, if you associate with the devotees when you're distributing books and you see them distributing books, then you become greedy to do it yourself. You say, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. Why should they do it? Why shouldn't I do it too? And then that desire, then Krishna will send someone. All right, finally this devotee wants to distribute a book, I'll send someone who wants to buy a book. It's a perfect combination. So we should develop the desire and then Krishna will reciprocate. And the desire is we want everyone to go back to the spiritual world. Krishna wants everyone to go back. That's why we're going to distribute more books, not to get more name and fame, or to show I'm better than you. How many did you distribute? I distributed 10. Well, I did 15. Bow down, mister. Do you know who I am? No, who are you? I don't know either, actually. Can I tell you who I think I am? No, the reason why we're going out and distributing books is to bring people back to Krishna, that's all. To develop so that they can be happy forever. That's the only reason why we're doing it. Because Krishna will be happy if we do it. Because everyone has eternal loving relation with Krishna, and Krishna's unhappy because people are not happy. So we want to make Krishna happy by making people happy, by giving them their relationship with Krishna back. And then that's how we get our relationship also with Krishna.
Oh, I have this question. When we are giving the books to people on the street, most of them, you know, the books, they won't read it. It's going to be on their bookshelves.
Well, that's pretty optimistic. Here, take this book, give me a donation. I know you're going to read it. At least put it on your bookshelf, please. It's a nice color. It goes with that. What color wall? Yeah, we'll go with your wall.
Yeah, so I was just thinking, you know, maybe they will just read it. Keep it aside. Some of them will read it because, you know, the books are telling you no meat eating and stuff like that.
What's that?
Because the books are also, there are rules in the books like that. I mean, mentioned that, you know, in our society we are following the four regulative principles, and most of the people do that. Like, you know, they will just read it. Okay, this is not for me and stuff like that. So I was thinking that, you know, we all are going into studying, but people have, may get some benefit by reading it, but it will be in their bookshelf. But then I was also thinking, and of course we are going out because we want people to come back, you know, to their original position, which is to be servant of Krishna. But then it's like those books will be just, not all.
We don't know. We have this conception of what the future is. But actually, if we organize ourselves properly, then some of them, if not many of them, will actually come and visit the temple and take up the process of devotional service and go back to Godhead, either in this lifetime or in the future. But if they meet a nice devotee on the street who's enthusiastic, encourages them to buy a book, then their path back to Godhead has begun. It may not be accomplished fully in this lifetime, but then again, in the next lifetime, maybe they'll come back and buy two books instead of one. That way they'll make progress. But if we organize ourselves properly, then some of them who've been buying books for their whole life after life will think, well, maybe I should go and find out what the book is about. It's about time. And then if we have a nice program where we can explain that we're not the body, someone may think, wow, that's amazing, I'm eternal. Maybe I should find out what I should do eternally rather than just temporarily. So gradually people's intelligence will awaken if we organize ourselves properly the way Krishna and his acharyas have told us to approach people, the way the super soul in our heart will instruct us. So that we can help people even more than just buying a book. Some of them will read it, some of them will come to the temple, some of them will actually start following. Otherwise, how did we get here? If someone was on the street and we walked by before, and someone said, here, take the book. And you say, sure, I'll take the book. How much is it? Oh, no, no, no. Actually, you should. Just give a donation. Don't read the book. Just put it on your bookshelf. Because if you read the book, you may come back and ask me for your money back. So please don't read it. he'll tell you things you don't want to do and he'll make you unhappy. So please don't read the book, whatever you do. Some people actually have enough intelligence, they'll think, wow, this is exactly what I've been looking for. I mean, you don't think people are frustrated enough out there? I'm perfectly powerful and happy. There's nothing that can add to my life. I know everything, past, present, future. Even God doesn't know what I know. Some people are interested. Why am I suffering? This society is crazy. It's getting even more crazy. Is there any alternative? There's one person on the street smiling. Maybe we should find out why they're smiling. They don't appear to be intoxicated. So maybe we should check this out and see what it's about. Anything else? Khala Grantharai Srimad Bhagavatam Kidai.